Good morning. Happy New Year. Oh, it's good to be here today. It's even better that whatever wintery mix we're going to get got pushed back till late this afternoon, so we didn't even have to worry about it. But I am so thankful to be here and so excited to be here today, even though Pastor is trying to forget about church for a little while and sit on a pretty boat and try to look as good as he can look. He can't get too far away from church business, though. He took a couple of elders with him. Why, I don't know, but he took elders with him, so he can't get too far away from church business. But keep them in prayer as they're all traveling. Keep his mom in prayer as she gets over the infection and stuff she was dealing with. I have a quick question for you, though. How many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? Show of hands. Come on, don't be afraid. We have a few. Okay, that's okay. How many have already broken their New Year's resolutions? I break them every year. That's one of my New Year's resolutions, to break my New Year's resolutions. There's nothing wrong with New Year's resolutions. Actually, in some ways, it can be helpful. But I wanted, since it's that time of year, I wanted to look at some little one-liners about New Year's resolution that were all over the Twitterverse this year, or out on Twitter this year. Lovely tweets. I think Nick made one of them. But these are he really didn't. I was just kidding. I just wanted everybody to stare at Nick. Is it colder here than Arizona? A lot colder. Okay. The first one, may all your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions. That was pretty profound, especially since I broke mine right away. So no more troubles this year. That'd be good, right? There have been many times in 2017 where I have annoyed you, disturbed you, irritated you, bugged the heck out of you. Today I just want to tell you I plan to continue it in 2018. My New Year's resolution is to help all my friends gain 10 pounds so I look skinnier. My resolution was to read more, so I put the subtitles on my TV. You're getting it there. All right. I was going to quit all my bad habits for the new year, but then I remembered that no one likes a quitter. My wife still hasn't told me what my New Year's resolutions are. And probably my favorite, and most of us can relate to this one. This New Year's, I resolved to be less awesome, since that is really the only thing I do in excess. So, well, gee whiz, thanks a lot for your love and support. Man, my wife said I'd get that kind of reaction, so it doesn't surprise me. Now I want to look at, there's three sets of resolutions that three different people have made over the last 5 years, and I want to quickly take a look at those. The first one, in 2013, I will read at least 20 good books a year. 2014, I will read at least 10 books a year. 2015, I will read 5 books a year. 2016, I'll read some articles in the newspaper this year. 2017, I will try to finish the comic section this year. So it got less and less for that individual. The next one, I will get my weight down below 170. Next year, 2014, I will watch my calories until my weight is below 200. 2015, I will follow my new diet until I get below 220. 2016, I will work out once a week. And 2017, I will drive past a gym at least once a week. So trying to get those resolutions to where they could not fail. And then one more. 2013, I will pay off my bank loan promptly. 2014, I will pay off my bank loans promptly. 2015, I will be totally out of debt by the next year. 2016, I will try to pay off the debt interest by next year. In 2017, I will just try to be out of the country by next year. So you just run from your troubles, and that's a good goal, I guess. See, if you've struggled keeping New Year's resolutions over the years, you are not alone. Now, I do want to tell you that research shows that a proactive attitude is useful, and people who explicitly make resolutions are 10 times more likely to attain their goals than people who don't explicitly make resolutions. So in that vein, I went looking for ways to help us all, every one of us, stick to our New Year's resolutions. First, I went back to my retail days and the old Circuit City trick of making goals. And that's what we called SMART goals. And you will see it up there. And some of you probably seen this in your business, but be specific with your goal to make it measurable so you know if you're doing well, to make it achievable, something you can attain. R stood for relevant. It's realistic and time-bound and reasonable. And then, of course, T was time-bound or time-based. That was a way to make a good goal for working at Circuit City. My smart goal is I want to get the heck out of this job. And I did. So my smart goal for Circuit City worked. But that just didn't seem to fit today with our resolutions. So I searched and I searched and I stumbled across the APA, the American Psychological Association website, which offers these tips to thinking or to that tips when thinking about your New Year's resolutions that'll help you stick with them. And I like these, and I think so. I'm gonna use these. First one: start small. Just make a resolution that you can keep. For example, if your aim is to exercise more frequently, don't say I'm going to go to the gym 7 days a week. Schedule 3 or 4 days a week at the gym instead of seven, and just make little changes in your life, which goes right into the second one. Change one behavior at a time. Don't try to change everything at once. It doesn't work. So you'll get overwhelmed. So just change one behavior at a time. Talk about it. Find some family and friends or a support group to help you reach your goals, such as a workout class or a group of coworkers who may be trying to quit whatever it is. Have someone to share your struggles and successes with. Number four, and this is an important one, and I really like this one. Don't beat yourself up. Perfection is probably, well, let's just face it, it's unattainable. Remember that minor missteps when reaching your goals are going to be normal and okay. Just don't completely give up on your goal because you had a brownie and broke your diet, or you skipped the gym for a week because you were too busy with all the things going on. Everyone has ups and downs, so resolve to recover and get back on the horse, so to speak, when you do have an error or you mess up. And then five, ask for support. Get help from others that you care about. It'll strengthen your resilience and it'll help you manage the stress that you may have with a particular resolution. I love those five, and I think they'll help us stick to our resolutions that you may make now or have made it may make in the future. But I had another reason for sharing those tips, and that's because over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to challenge you to make two new resolutions. Two new resolutions for this year and beyond. I really want all of us to be successful at them, so I wanted to have some tips that'll help us stick with them in the days, months, and weeks ahead. So I need to clarify something, I guess, actually. So when I say I'm challenging you to make these new resolutions, what I'm actually doing is I'm daring you to make these two new resolutions. And I'm daring all of us to make these specific resolutions this year. And this week, we're going to look at the first of the two resolutions. In 2018, I will be a disciple. In 2018, I will be a disciple. Now, the word disciple is used over 260-plus times in the New Testament. It seems to be an important focus of the New Testament, but I don't think it's just important. I think it's critical that we understand what being a disciple of Jesus means. A simple definition of the word disciple is a person who believes in the ideas of a leader, especially or specifically a religious or political one, and then tries to live according to those ideas or values. So a Christian disciple, of course, a disciple of Jesus, believes in Jesus' teachings and lives by those teachings. But I want to look at how Jesus defines being his disciple today. And of course, there's no better place to look than the Scriptures. And the cool thing about this, we only have to really focus on one to get Jesus' definition of what it means to be a disciple. And we're going to see what Jesus is calling us all to be, and what I'm specifically daring us all to make one of our New Year's resolutions this year. Now, we're going to look at Matthew 4:19. And as you open your Bibles to Matthew, and I encourage you to actually open your Bible. It's just one scripture, and it'll be on the screen. But open a Bible. Grab a pew Bible in there. Matthew 4:19. I have to take a moment real quick and admit to you, I've read this scripture hundreds of times. But only as I truly looked at it this week did I see and understand what Jesus was telling me, or telling these young men, as he called them to be his disciples. So Matthew 4:19 in the NIV says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." How many of you have heard that verse before? Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, according to Jesus, Being a disciple is defined by three things. Being a disciple is someone, first off, who knows and follows Jesus. It's right there at the beginning of the verse. Come follow me. So it's someone who knows and follows Jesus. I want to take a quick look at the Amplified Bible's translation of that scripture today, and it's on the screen. And he said to them, follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life that I walk, and I will make you fishers of men. I love how the Amplified Bible pulled out from that follow me what specifically we're supposed to do. If we're going to follow Christ, we have to accept every one of his teachings. We must make his ways the priority in our lives. We must choose to walk the way he would walk, act the way he would act, have mercy and forgiveness like Jesus, and love the way Jesus would love. It means living each day the way Jesus would live. Personal time with God. Create dedicated Bible time. Create prayer time. We're looking for opportunities to show people the love of God. And we're ready to share the good news of the gospel anytime, anywhere. Follow me is an action. And if God says go, we need to go. Now, this is hard for many of us to accept, including me, because it's a simple statement. Because God can say, Jeff, go to Africa. Whoa, wait a minute, God. Or any other mission field that takes us away from our homes or our comforts. And he can lead us down paths that we weren't expecting or not too sure about going. Well, a long time ago, I heard a story that helped me resolve some things with this statement. The statement, come follow me. The story was about a Navy SEAL. Now, the person telling the story told it like it was true. So, as far as I know, it is true. Although it could have been a lie for the situation. But either way, it's still a good story. The person said a friend was performing a covert operation, freeing hostages from a building in some dark part of the world. His friend's team flew in by a helicopter, made their way to the compound, and stormed into the room where the hostages had been imprisoned for months. The room, the person said, was filthy and dark. The hostages were all curled up in a corner, terrified. When the SEALs entered the room, they heard gasps from the hostages. They stood at the door and called to the prisoners, telling them they were Americans. The SEALs asked their hostages to follow them, but the hostages wouldn't. They didn't move. They didn't even look up. They just sat on the floor, hid their eyes in fear. They were not of a healthy mind and didn't believe these rescuers were really Americans. The SEAL stood there not knowing what to do. They couldn't possibly carry every one of the hostages out. One of the SEALs got an idea. He put down his weapon, took off his helmet, and curled up tightly next to the other hostages on the floor, getting so close that his body was touching some of theirs. He softened the look on his face and put his arms around them. He was trying to show them he was one of them. None of the prison guards would have ever done this for the hostages. So he stayed there for a little while until some of the hostages started to look at him, finally meeting his eyes. The Navy SEAL whispered that they were American and they were here to rescue them. Will you follow us? He said. The hero stood at his feet. One of the hostages did the same, then another and another until all of them were willing to go. The story ends with all the hostages safe on an American aircraft carrier. Now, I never liked it when preachers said, and I still don't today, we had to follow Jesus. Sometimes they would make Jesus sound angry about it. But I like this story that I was told because I like the idea of Jesus becoming a man so that we would be able to trust him. I like that he healed people and loved on them and cared deeply about people while he was here. When I understood the decision to follow Jesus was very much like the decision these hostages had to make, it was a decision to follow their rescuers. I knew then that I needed to decide whether or not I would follow him. The decision was a simple one. I just had to ask myself, do I believe Jesus is the Son of God? Are we being held captive in a world run by Satan, a world filled with brokenness? And do I believe Jesus can rescue me from this condition? Once I realized the answer to all those was yes, it made me realize how much I liked the story about the Navy SEAL. True or not, I like to think of Jesus as a rescuer, becoming like me, crouching beside me in my brokenness, putting his arm around my shoulder, and asking me to follow him. So as a disciple, we are expected to follow him. Wow, that's a lot in just the first part of this verse. That's just the first statement, the first thing that we have to do to become a disciple. But let's look at that scripture again and see what the second thing that Jesus does or uses to define a disciple. Matthew 4:19 says again, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." This is the part. The second statement is the one that I struggled with and didn't really realize or catch until this week. But a disciple is someone who is being changed by Jesus. A disciple is someone who is being changed by Jesus. I will make you. That part of the verse. I will make you. I always read it, I will make you fishers of men. I just kind of joined them all together. But there's more to it than that. He's not just simply making us fishers of men, but he's changing us. If we commit to following him, he will make us not only true fishers of men, but he's saying, I will change you. I will train you. I will transform you into fishers of men. I will change you to become what? More like me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. He's changing us. Our relationship with him will lead us closer and closer to a living representative of his character and likeness. His priorities will be our priorities. His eyes for the broken, the hurt, and the lonely, they'll become our eyes. His heart for all people, it will become our heart. He wants us to look like him in this world. To be honest, we must look like him in this world. Mark Guy Pierce, who was a Methodist preacher back in the late 19th and early 20th century, told this story. I watched an old man trout fishing the other day, pulling them out one after another, briskly, just going one after another. And I said to him, "You manage it cleverly, old friend," I said. "I have passed a good many other fishermen who don't seem to be doing anything." The old man lifted himself up, stuck his rod in the ground. He said, "Well, you see, sir, there be three rules for trout fishing. And 'tis no good trying if you don't mind all three. The first is, keep yourself out of sight. The second is, keep yourself further out of sight. And the third is, keep yourself still out of sight. Then you'll do it." You know what? That's good for catching men, too. We are to let go of our former self and become his light to shine so that we can do so that he shines through us. It's not us that people see. It's Jesus that people see. That is when we let God and let Jesus transform us and change us. And when we do that, we can do the third and final thing that Jesus defines as his disciples. Remember what Matthew 4:19 says. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. That's the third one. A disciple is someone who is committed to the mission of Jesus. Someone who is committed to the mission of Jesus, fishers of men. Jesus is explaining his mission in terms that these fishermen that he's talking to will understand. He's telling them exactly what he tells us throughout his time here on earth. Look at these two verses quickly and mark them down and go back and read them at home too. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." That's Jesus' mission. That's our mission. Matthew 28:19-20, and this is one we've read around here time and time again. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus' mission, to reach the lost, to reach the hurt, to help everyone. His mission becomes our mission. Charles Spurgeon may have said it best when he was looking at Matthew 4:19. He said, "The fact is that every one of us must be about the business of catching men and women for Christ. If Christ has caught us, we must catch others." Three things that make a disciple, folks. Follow me. Someone who knows and follows Jesus. I will make you. Someone who is being changed by Jesus. And fishers of men, someone who is committed to the mission of Jesus. So let me throw out once again the first of the two resolutions I am asking you, or I am daring you, to make this new year and beyond. I will be a disciple of Jesus. I want to loop back real quickly to the five things that I mentioned, the five tips we can do according to the APA to help make a New Year's resolution stick. Start small, folks. Start small. I want to be Jesus' disciple. I want to follow him. You don't have to pack up tonight and head to the mission field tomorrow. Okay, start small. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in prayer. Or be a light for Jesus just at your job, in your neighborhood, or maybe just with your family and friends. Do those small things. As you do those small things, God will reveal his plans for you, and you will become more like him each day. So start small. Change one behavior at a time. Maybe you just need to set aside dedicated time each day for prayer and Bible study. On the other hand, maybe you just need to start each day with a short prayer, asking God to open your eyes to opportunities to help someone or to reach someone with his love. Figure out one thing to change to improve your walk with God and change that first, and then move on to the next and move on to the next. Number three, talk about it. Find an accountability partner or just someone to share the ups and downs of your walk as a disciple for Jesus. Then the two or three of you together can help strengthen one another. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 at the beginning of that verse, so encourage each other and build each other up. Talk about it. Find someone to share your struggles and stuff with. Fourth one, and this is the one. This, don't beat yourself up. As a Christian, this is the one where we've got to remember we are human and we are not perfect. And we are going to mess up. And things get tough and things get rough. Remember two things. First and foremost, you can go to God. You can go to God for support. But secondly, when you build yourself up, don't drag yourself down by dwelling on it. Don't just sit there and dwell on it. Again, I messed up. Oh, man, I messed up. I didn't do this. I didn't pray like this. I didn't do this. Oh, I knew she was hurting and I didn't go to her. I mean, don't beat yourself up. It's only going to drag you down. You're going to dwell on it. And pretty soon you feel like a failure. And pretty soon you're saying, I don't want to get involved. I'm just going to go to church and I'm just going to try to be a good person. Listen, acknowledge your mistake. God already knows it. Ask for forgiveness and move on. Move forward. Keep pushing yourself to be a disciple of Jesus. Failure is going to happen. We're going to mess up. We're going to try too hard. We're going to slip up. We're not going to say the right thing sometimes because we're human. But if none of us try, if none of us go out there to reach other people, to help other people, who's going to do it? That's being a disciple. Man, get into the Word. Just get into the four Gospels. You want to see people who mess up. They're all over the place. But we can't stop trying. You can't beat yourself up. You've got to keep moving forward. And then finally, ask for support. When the going gets tough, there are two great ways for a Christian to get support. One I just mentioned, you can go to God. You can go to God. There is no better source for strength and power than our Heavenly Father. And then secondly, if you just need a hug, a friend to pray with, you have a church family to go to, and they will reach out in love and you will work together to support you through whatever is going on in your walk with God. Let me just take a quick poll. How many of you have been helped by other people in this church family? That's it, folks. We are support for one another. You can ask for it. You don't have to be afraid. I'm going to say, how many of you have messed up? I've messed up. See, we're not a bunch of perfect people. We're a bunch of mess ups. But mess ups for God, we are. Ask for support. Use the church. Go to God. You will get through it. And together, you will move forward. Now, I know this resolution on face value for some may seem tough. Or some of you may be thinking, well, I'm already a disciple of God. I'm already a disciple of Jesus. But look at those three points. And there's probably some area we can all improve on. I know I can. But together, we can take it one step at a time. Trust solely in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can make it, and we can be a light in this dark world and make disciples of all nations. We can be fishers of men. Now, if you've already made the decision to follow Christ, then let us all work together to be the type of disciple that Jesus is calling us to be. Come follow me, and I will make you. You don't have to make yourself. I will make you fishers of men. We should all want to make this resolution today and commit to sticking to it now and forevermore. If you're in and willing to make this resolution, then join me in just a second. And we're going to say that statement together. And we will let the world know we are going to be God's light in our homes, in our communities, and in our world. Oh, and I dare you. I dare you to make this statement with me. Here we go. In 2018, I will be a disciple. Let's do that again. In 2018, I will be a disciple. Now, maybe you're here today and have no clue what we're talking about, or just didn't know until you got here what this Jesus dude was all about. If you're ready now after reading and you think, oh, it's time, I need to make this resolution today, I need to come forward and say, I want to follow Christ, I want to be his disciple, then don't wait any longer. Come forward today as we're about to sing our invitation song and publicly let the world know that you're all in. Let this family of God celebrate with you and commit. Again, when you come forward, we commit to walk the walk with you every day. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak from your word. More importantly, I thank you for this community of believers I serve with and worship with and hug with and just go through life with. I just ask that you be with us today, that you allow us to reach the lost in your name, and more importantly, that you help us step up, be disciples, be the light in Mahomet, Champaign, St. Joe, Mansfield, Seymour, the community around us, and then to the world. Open our hearts to your word, open our hearts to your will, and it's in your Son's most holy name we pray. Amen.